Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
I'm Mark Pugh. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vine, and it's great to be here to continue sharing with God's Word, from God's Word with you guys. You know, last week we started a new sermon series in Colossians, and Pastor Andrew, he led us in that study in chapter 1, and one of the things we learned when we looked at chapter 1 with Pastor Andrew is that Christ isn't really part of the story. No, He is the story. Christ is the very image of the invisible God. He created all things in earth and the heavens, and He holds them together. It's in Him and through Him and for Him that we exist and all things happen. We learn that He is worthy. He is worthy to be worshipped. And so that's where we start with our sermon now. If we go to Colossians 1 towards the end of it, verse 24 through chapter 2, verse 5. And this morning we're going to be talking about a mystery. And for those of us who have put our faith in Christ, we've been given the answer to this mystery already. And that's kind of a big deal because I think a lot of people, they like mysteries. They like to try to solve mysteries. You know, I like to read a novel that's a mystery or maybe a movie that's a mystery. When I was a kid, we had this thing called Bigfoot that was a big mystery. You know, and all this reminded me of this time in college. My first couple years of college, I lived in the dorm one year, and I was involved in a big mystery there. So what I realized, you know, we had this common space, and we had two adjacent rooms in the dorm. And somehow I learned that if you pulled the drawers out from underneath the bathroom sink where all your clothes were, you could crawl through the counter, push out your roommate the next door over, and get into their room. And so I thought it was a great idea. So one night when everybody was asleep, I did that, crawled through, messed up the room a bit, wrote a little note, generic, left it for them, made sure the door was locked. I crawled back through, put all the drawers back in, and I went to bed. I was pretty satisfied. As you can imagine, I woke up the next morning, and the sweet makes, they were wound up. They were trying to figure out this mystery. They were looking for all sorts of answers to what had happened, how they could figure this out. And that is the same kind of stuff that we deal with around us. You know, we see people coming around looking for answers to the mysteries of life. Every day, they're looking for purpose and joy in their lives. And yet, as Christians, we have the answer. We have the answer to this mystery. I think most of us know that life, there's going to be struggles in it. But we also know that the answer to this mystery gives us hope. That every day, there's this hope for peace that you can't find anywhere else. So let's open up our Bibles. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Verse 24 to chapter 2, verse 5. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy, that He powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. So we can see the answer. It's right there in our passage. The answer to this mystery, it is Christ in you. The mystery is our union with Jesus. And so we're going to start by unpacking. We're going to look at verse 24. We're going to unpack, how does this mystery help us with suffering? You know, when you look at verse 24, it's kind of hard not to think Paul's a little bit crazy. I mean, he says, I'm rejoicing in my sufferings for the Colossians. I'm like, who says that? Why would you say that? He hasn't even met the people from Colossae yet. But before we answer that, I think it's really important to call out something, make sure this is very clear to us. When Paul says in this verse, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction, he's not saying that Christ's suffering is in any way insufficient. Now, Jesus' death on the cross completely paid the ransom. He completely paid the punishment that we deserve, everyone's sin that puts trust in Him. Our debt is completely paid. You know, to understand, though, what Paul is saying here, I think it helps us to look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 30. If we pull that up, Paul uses virtually the same words here. He's telling the Philippians that Epaphroditus, he nearly died for the work that Christ was doing as he represented the Philippian church in visiting Paul while Paul was in prison. See, this word here, lacking, it's not saying that the Philippians like didn't do their job, they failed. It's just saying that Epaphroditus, he was doing the work in their place. And this is what Paul's saying in our passage in Colossians 1 in verse 24, that we're going to suffer. We can expect that. We're going to suffer while we do the work Christ has left for us to do. Paul believes that. As Christians, we're called to continue to do that work, the work that Christ is to do, that has told us to do, to disciple all the nations, to help be image bearers to all the people groups across the globe. And in so doing this, Paul knew that this work, it was going to be costly. And we should expect that as we carry this out, to suffer like Christ endured for us. You know, Paul believed in his assignment so much that he said it was an honor, that he rejoiced in the suffering. He rejoiced to suffer to support and grow the body of Christ, which is the church. You know, this Greek word for church is literally translated as called out ones. The church, it's not an organization or a building. It's a living organism. It's Christ's body composed of individual members who have put their faith in Christ. And we're joined together in and through Christ because Christ is in us. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that's still a little confusing. You know, even though we have the answer to the mystery, there's still some mysterious things about our faith, and suffering's one of them. Like, why do we have to suffer? How do we suffer together? You know, we just said we're a living organism, but I don't fully understand that. And yet these mysterious things, We don't let them lead us to doubt and despair. They lead us to worshiping. Worshiping the God of the creation. He is all powerful. And we see the beauty of the things we don't understand, and we worship Him in those things. And in suffering, you know, I think Paul, he knew that suffering for God's kingdom, for him, it drew him closer to Jesus. And he thought that was something worth rejoicing over. You know, last week, Pastor Andrew, he told us to, God wants us to come to Him in our weakness, not in our strength, that we're drawn nearer to Christ in our weakness. You know, I almost always sleep like a baby. When I lay down and I decide it's the day's over, I'm like, we've got seconds before I'm done. And I usually sleep through the night. But about a week and a half ago, something urgent was going on here that was a problem. And I woke up at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, two nights in a row, could not go back to sleep, was worried about it, consuming. What am I going to do? How am I going to fix this problem? Over and over and over and over did it. Second morning, about 6 or so in the morning, I finally feel God tap me on the shoulder going, hey, yeah, hey, I'm still here. You know, if you want, I could probably solve this problem for you. It's up to you, but I bet I can do this. And it's so easy for us to forget God's on the throne. But when I release that to Him, and I remember that, He's sovereign. However this thing's going to get fixed is the way it's supposed to get fixed. I just got to do my part. It's so much easier to let go and go back to sleep. You know, suffering helps us see our need for Christ. And how we handle suffering, it really does affect the body of Christ. It affects other believers. Suffering encourages others as they see us in perseverance, going through the trials of life, but persevering. And I know it's always amazing to me when I see members of our church so graciously, calmly, relying on God's sovereignty, dealing with the difficulties of life. That's an encouragement. So now we've seen how this mystery impacts how we suffer. Let's look a little more about what's this mystery really mean to us. This mystery is Christ in you. And we see in verses 25 to 27, Paul tells us that God gave him a job. Paul was given a job to do, and that was to make God's word fully known. You know, we know, Paul knew the answers to life. This is where they are. They're in the Bible. And in it, he reminds us that God chose the Gentiles. That it was God that chose the Gentiles to receive the riches of the glory of this mystery, which again is Christ in you. You know, this glorious mystery of Jesus Christ being our Savior and indwelling in us, it was God's plan from the very beginning, and it's been unfolding throughout history. And now it's being revealed to all the believers, not just the Jews. And this wasn't really clear. It wasn't clear in the Old Testament, especially that He would abide in the Gentiles. You know, the idea that God would dwell in the heart of a child of Abraham, that was easy for the Jews to get behind, but that He would find a home in the heart of the Gentiles was incredible. It was unheard of, and yet that's exactly what this is saying. You know, we see something very similar in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. He says, the mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So what's this mystery really mean? Christ in you? I think this phrase, I think it highlights the intimate and personal relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus in us. It's not just about following Jesus' teachings. It's but having Him dwell within us and realizing He's transforming us from the inside out. You know, Christ in you gives you the hope of glory. This is a hope for eternal assurance. It's a promise of something greater, where we would get to be with Christ and other followers of Christ forever and ever and ever. It is way better and bigger than the life's ups and downs that we deal with. This is our hope of glory. You know, this mystery, Christ in you, it's the greatest truth, I think, taught in the Bible. And yet, it's the missing element from so many churches today. So I think most Christians, I think they understand Christ died on the cross and offers forgiveness of sin. I think they believe that, and they came to Christ because of that. But unfortunately, that's where most of them stopped. Relatively few, I think, go on to grasp the fact that Jesus died for them and now lives inside them. That when God looks at us as believers that put our trust and faith in Christ, He doesn't see our sin and selfishness. He sees the perfect life of Jesus before us. It's in His life where our power comes from to change and to resist temptation, to be delivered. It's in Christ where freedom and peace starts. This is where loneliness is met. It's where pains and fears are reduced. It's where we can find true and absolute approval so we don't feel the need to be perfect. You know, in the book of Exodus, in Exodus 24, I think, Moses, kind of crazy scene, Moses sprinkles blood on the people to cleanse them. He's enacting the covenant. This is right after the Ten Commandments and the covenant's been discussed, and he's going to promise to be their God, and they're going to be his people. And to do that, though, they had to be cleaned. They had to be cleaned to be holy. And you have to be holy to be with God. In this passage, it's really impacted me lately because it's made me appreciate how thankful I am that I'm holy. Not because of anything I did, not because of how amazing I am or smart or whatever it is. It's simply God's grace that I'm deemed holy because Christ's blood has covered me and He's covered you. If you've put your faith in Christ, you are holy. God sees us as holy. That's amazing. See, it's not enough. It's not enough that Christ died in order that we might go to heaven. We also need to understand, we need to know, we need to apply Christ living in us right now, Christ in you. This is what we call preaching the gospel to ourselves. It's where we remind ourselves each and every day that God is in you. You are holy in the eyes of your Maker. And that can reduce our stress a little. It can help us make decisions knowing that. You know, for the last couple of years, I've been picking a word that I try to center on and trying to help me focus a little bit. It's something I want to change or whatever. And this year I've been zeroed on the word seek. And my hope is that it will remind me that Christ is in me, that I seek Him. And I realize as I seek and I think about this, I kind of have two choices. I can either focus on Christ in me and seek guidance from the Holy Spirit, or I can focus on my flesh and my desires. See, at any given moment, my mind can only do one or the other. I can overhear and think about my flesh, make decisions based on what I want. A lot of times I'm thinking, hey, that feels pretty good. Or I come over here and I'm like the Holy Spirit. I can let the Holy Spirit, my mind can focus on the Holy Spirit. What should I do now? But I don't do that a lot. I come back over here a lot. And occasionally I come back over here, but I really like it over here. And it's really unfortunate because you'd think this would be pretty easy, that we ought to be able to control our mind, but our sin nature makes that really hard. You'd think it'd be easy. I was born and raised in Knoxville, Tennessee. Who wants that guy making decisions for you? Right? We've got the Creator of the universe who loves us dearly, whose love is steadfast, that's very willing to help us at any given moment. So that's the great mystery. Christ in us. So let's look at what are we supposed to do with this mystery? And there's a couple of things we see in our passage. The very end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, we see that we proclaim the mystery to encourage one another. We see in verse 28 that him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Because Christ is in us, we are compelled to proclaim him to others in hopes that we might present everyone mature in Christ. See, we're all stewards of the mysteries of God. It's not just on the Apostle Paul. We're all in this. We see in verse 29 that Paul, he says, he toils and struggles to proclaim this mystery. You know, our word in the English, agonize, it's derived from this word struggle here. So what Paul really is saying is he's agonizing with all the energy that God gives him, that God would give him to present everyone mature in Christ. See, this is not done in Paul's strength alone. And honestly, this is a big reason why we believe so strongly in discipleship in this church. We need people agonizing for us. We need people pointing us back to Jesus. We need mentors who get this passage, who are going to rejoice in the suffering to help others mature in Christ. That these mentors, they would come alongside us and model Christ for us. And then in return, we would model Christ for somebody else. And we would all work hard at that. We would work hard at that because being made mature in Christ is not easy work, and it is not done alone. All right, so let's look at why. Why does Paul work so hard to proclaim this mystery? And we get a little glimpse of this in verse 2. We see this phrase, so that. That's always a good reminder. That might tell us why something's happening. He says, so that the Colossians' hearts might be encouraged to understand the mystery of Christ in us, where all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Again, this book has a lot of treasures of wisdom in it. Paul, he's not trying to help people be wealthy, rich, healthy, happy, prosperous. No, he just wants our hearts to be comforted. He just wants our hearts to be assured because he knows that prosperity of the soul, that's the best prosperity of all. This is what we should want for ourselves and what we should want for the people around us. You know, unfortunately, and I'm really guilty of this, we often want to help people be successful. When we're talking to other people and we're helping them, we like to give our opinions to help them be successful, rather than encouraging them to all reach the full assurance and understanding and knowledge of Christ. This could take the shape of a lot of things, but it might be you and your spouse, you're trying to make a big decision, and you need to talk it out, and it's good to talk it out. And as you're talking it out, one of you is probably trying to sell the other one on what's the right way to go with this decision. Or maybe best case, you're working together to come up with that big decision rather than helping each other be drawn near to Christ, to help each other see how does this decision impact our faith? How does our faith impact this decision? That we would be drawn near to have a full understanding and knowledge and assurance of Christ as we walk through these decisions of life. Yeah, the decision is important, yes. But it's not as important as helping people know Christ in a deeper way. It's not as important as helping us learn to lean on each other and lean on Christ to understand that mystery that's in us. So besides helping to encourage each other, we proclaim the mystery of Christ in us so people won't chase after other answers. We see that towards the end of our passage. We see that in verse 4 and 5. See, Paul, he felt like, and we saw this in verse 2, that if the Colossians would be knit together in love, they would be able to withstand the heresy that was going on around them. And I really believe this is very similar to what we're dealing with today. See, we need people who care for us in our life to help us not be misled or persuaded by what's going on around us. We need to be able to stand strong against some of the things that are going on in our culture. These things that distract us and pull us away from Christ and His body. You know, sometimes we don't display Jesus well as we're attacking each other over politics. Getting involved with politics is great, but attacking each other can be harmful. And having the wrong views of sexuality, self-care, and seeking our own comfort over others. Not being generous with our lives. I mean, the list goes on. It goes on and on. But you know, it usually starts with centering on me rather than we. Our passage teaches us that we flourish together, not separately. And this idea of being misled or deluded, it's part of why so often with the girls as they were growing up, I asked them, who's your 3? Who's your 12? You know, Jesus had 12 that he was close to, but he had 3 he was really close to, James, John, and Peter. You know, we got to be careful who's in our 3. Don't let them delude you. Don't let them chase answers for the mysteries of life that aren't the right answers. And then in our 12, it would be great to have somebody in our 12 that we're trying to be an image bearer for. We're trying to help them understand the answer to this mystery, to share who Christ is with them. And then lastly, in verse 5, chapter 2, we see that we can help encourage one another even when we aren't physically near one another. See, although Paul, he had never met the Colossian believers, not in person, but yet he's saying that spiritually they were connected. They were all part of Christ's body, and Paul was struggling and laboring in prayer for them. Paul models amazingly for us praying for believers across the globe. It's through prayer that we're connected in our spirit. We feel each other's pain and experience Christ's suffering for each other. This is the work of the Holy Spirit inside us. This is the mystery of Christ in us. It's the beauty of the body of Christ working together, the church. You know, several days after I broke into my sweet mate's room, I confessed. I confessed and helped them solve the mystery. And, you know, that was a silly story. But those of us who have faith in Christ, we have the answer to this great mystery. This is not a silly one. It's not a silly story. It's of critical importance to those around us. It's a mystery that delivers people from themselves and their own works. Christ in you, it's the most beautiful gift that we could receive and help others understand. You know, in our Romans series just last month, we closed with the benediction from Romans 15, 13. And I just want to read that here. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." This is what everyone's looking for. Everybody wants joy and peace in their lives. And because of Jesus Christ and His willingness to live a perfect life here on earth, fully honoring God's law, thus making Him righteous in God the Father's eyes, and choosing to die on the cross to take on the punishment for our sin and our selfishness, and even better, being raised from the dead, defeating death, promising eternal life, that hope of glory that comes from believing and trusting in Him. We trust in this mystery, Christ in you. You know, as we wrap up here, our teaching time this morning, you know, we do this so often, but just encourage us now to, let's take a minute. Let's have a moment of silence. Let's pray. Ask God to reveal to you how He can draw you near, how you can see your need for Him and the dependence that you have upon Him more and more, to be drawn and refreshed in this moment, to repent of anything He may show you. So let's do that. Let's go before the Lord now. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this moment that we get to take this meal together and to be drawn nearer and nearer to you and to one another. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.